one that can satisfy you.
It's been a long day, and I'm really sorry that we're recording so late. It's full hours after we were planning on starting. But, well...
That's okay.
Life happens.
You have adventure stuff to talk about, but we're just starting now, so... Welcome to Knotcast, episode whatever number this is. Insert title here.
Insert title here. Because we're professional podcasters. I think this is 179? I'm not sure. We've been doing this a while.
Hold on. Let me pull up Safari. Figure it out.
179. Yay! We're correct. winner is us.
So 180 next week.
Yep.
Okay.
What does that mean? It means that it's 180.
It means we do a 180 and we give reverse advice on everything.
Oh, we could do
We're
that.
We're going to say, you should go to church.
Oh,
renounce
God.
Your sinful ways and give yourself to Lion Jesus.
Next week's going to be fun. Next week's going to be like bullshit cast. Everything is going to be terrible advice. You'll be like,
oh God,
you know, should I love my fellow human being? No, you should kill everybody. So get your serious questions in this week, and next week, no serious questions.
Yeah, next week would be ridiculous questions that will get ridiculous answers. That's a fun idea.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So now we know, right at the beginning of the show, what next week's episode is going to be about. And the episode title for next week will just be Flippity Jibbity. This week is your ideal podcast.
Yes, it's like, so, podcasting. What do you like to hear?
Which we got fuck all in the way of response to.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
Yeah, we got a couple of on-topic email, and then we got a bunch of regular email.
Do we ever get on-topic email?
Occasionally. Like,
yeah, occasionally.
Yeah. Okay, so, before we talk about email, how was your day, Saverin?
It was long as hell, let me tell you. So, it's, you know, Friday, June 1st, 2012, so it's ACON! ACON.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a con, it's ACON.
ACON 23. What the fuck ish edition? I don't know. So, I took the train today, because...
Should we explain for the non-Dallasites that ACON is a massive fucking anime convention in downtown Dallas.
Do you know how many they attend?
About 18,000.
That's a lot of people.
So, thankfully, Dallas has at least the minimum of a mass transit system, so I was able to take the train downtown, as opposed to having to find parking or anything.
Yeah, because they jack up the parking rate. Like, companies come in, and they lease the entire parking lot, and then they jack the rates through the roof for the weekend when there's, like, a big event downtown.
Because they're fuckheads. But anyways, I paid $4 to take the train all day. Stood in line 2 hours to get my pre-reg pickup. So, this was the most deceptive line ever.
Mm-hmm.
So, they start you out with this little short zigzag near the door as you enter on the left. And I was like, oh man, because that's where Reg had been for pre-reg in the past. I thought, man, they are like on fucking top of this shit.
It turns out that they're underneath this shit.
They're buried under oceans of pasta or something. So it zigzags back and forth a couple times, and then it starts going straight towards the back of that big room. Mm-hmm. If you have it, there's like, God, is it 100, 150 feet? Fucking huge, like single, multi-use space. Just a single uninterrupted room.
It's like, It's like Hall C or B of Anthrocon.
Yeah, it's Anthrocon massive room size. So it snakes, it goes straight to the back.
Mm-hmm.
But wait, there's more. It zigzags to the right. Then there's like four or five switchbacks. Then it just goes across the back to where there's the autograph area. Then it goes, takes a jag to left, goes down an unused hallway, goes back across, comes back to basically where it went into the hallway, then heads back south, back towards the front.
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes into about 20 goddamn switchbacks.
What's a switchback? Just a little jag?
It's just a queue line.
Right.
If I had not purchased a ticket, I would have gotten in quicker.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just one of those, they didn't have their stuff down, I guess.
Yeah, after, I mean, it's only been running 23 years. I mean,
these things. They're still, it takes time.
Yeah, it takes 4 or 5 decades to work shit out, you know. They've only been going for 2.5. Give them time. They don't have like a super sponsor or sponsor badge or anything like that. So
they're expensive enough as it is.
There's no fast track. It's not that expensive, right? It's like $35.
It was $50.
$50 for the weekend?
It's 62 on site now.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
62 on site is a little
high. It's for all days. I think the one day is like 35 for Saturday.
Mm, all right.
I'll be going tomorrow.
Oh, you will?
Yeah.
Oh, jolly good. I thought you wouldn't be.
Some things have changed.
Okay, good, good.
So,
oh, wait, I can't steal your badge.
No.
Sorry. It's all right. I got
neither can Tesser.
Oh, I got errands to run. What time's the brony meet tomorrow?
Oh, I don't know. It's like at 3 probably.
In the afternoon? I might be able to go.
Anyways.
I'll be at Akon tomorrow too, but I'll be putting on the Furry Fiesta room party.
Yeah, so if you're hearing this, too fucking late. Because it already happened. But for a year and a day from now, every year we have a Furry Fiesta room party at Akon.
Yep, giveaway shit.
Yep. But
and in fact, food and...
I was printing the flyers for it tonight before heading out to meet everyone for dinner.
But it was really cool. Met up with a couple bros from... from IRC that I've met, cool dudes, hung out with them, basically just hung out, ran into tons of pony stuff. I mean, like every, like last year there was like maybe 2 vendors that had anything pony related. This year, they've caught on. Like every shirt vendor there has some of the We Love Fine shirts. The shirts were ubiquitous. I mean, every 10th person probably had a pony related shirt on.
Awesome.
I think I saw one Furries Anonymous shirt.
Oh, I love the Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Oh.
But
those are fun.
Lots of cosplay from all over the place. It was fun, and I ran into, you know, bro Sean Howell. Pretty cool guy.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Kick shit, doesn't afraid of anything.
Old school furry.
Very old school. I mean, he was well established when I joined the fandom, so.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. And a couple other bros, too. There was a big meetup, 150 people. Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, this whole thing was, I went in, I was only there on site for about 3 hours. Because I...
Does that include after line or before line?
After line. So mm-hmm. It was three to four hours. With
3
all
hours AL. After line.
Because after, you know, I was able to walk the artist alley, walk the upstairs a little bit, walk the dealer's den, go to the meet, and then, oh shit, it's time to get back on the train.
Train.
And get to Waxahachie.
Did you see any, like, did anyone have any cool Doctor Who shit?
There was a couple places, yeah, that had, like, legit Doctor Who stuff. And, like, there was one place that was selling, like, shitty, cheap-looking fezzes.
Like, we're just going to cash in, yeah.
Then there's, like, Yowie Nazis. What the hell?
What?
Yowie Nazis?
Yowie Nazis. So... Just hang on. This is something.
My brain is just what.
Hold
snapped.
On to that last brain cell, Shiva. Saverin is going to explain.
So, it's like, no cock for you.
So on the back wall, there's always
nine
annoying as hell guys and gals selling their yaoi and screaming at occasionally, "Yaoi, get your yaoi hair!" Come on down to Big Bob's, house the yaoi, and down on Loop 12. Get yourself something for the wife, something for the kids. And on Sunday is a 2-for-1 priest altar boy special.
Oh.
Come on down to Big Bob's house, yeah. God. So anyways, there's these guys that are selling, like, tailored clothing that looks like, you know, World War II-style long coats and German-style military caps with, you know, what was the Iron Eagle with the swastika, except they replaced the swastika with yaoi. So they are yaoi.
Did it say yaoi, or was it a swastika made of penises?
No. That would somehow be more offensive, but this is just yaoi.
The new swastika dildo from AdamandEve.com. Enter our coupon code Nazi.
K-N-O-T-S-I. So, anyways, that was my little mind bend of the
Nazi. You done killed Shiva. You know, she's no longer L-shaped, she's now swastika-shaped.
Oh, no.
She's a schwackat. Don't swallow your tongue.
But there was Doctor Who merch, there was...
No, I'm not going to go there.
There was a whole nice blend. You know, it's still heavily anime figures, stuff like that. Not a single Vasta Stampede figure to be seen, so I'm quite glad I picked up the one that I did.
Uh-huh. Well, even if you had seen it there, it probably would have cost you an arm and a leg.
Yeah, there's like a 15...
Everything is marked the fuck up.
Oh, crazy bad, too. So, like, there's this really badass Alucard from Helsing.
Uh-huh.
It's been put out for... like the re-release of the series or whatever. And okay. It's similar to that one with the super articulated and crazy posing and shit.
Right.
It's $40 at Anime Pop, which usually those guys are kind of ripoffs, but no, they're out there at the con, $55.
Yeah.
Like, shit.
Man, if I'd thought about it, I should have gotten, like, just bought a bunch of pony shit, got an Artist Alley table and marked it the fuck up and just...
That's the thing, though.
Been masturbating with $100 bills by the end of the day.
No. What I tell you, what you could have done,
mm-hmm.
and this is what I was telling to my bros, is like, look, all you would have had to do is like spend all year making a fuckload of pony plush, 4 or 5 of each one, maybe a half a dozen derpies,
mm-hmm.
toss in a couple fan favorites, Octavia Vinyl. Set them up $60 a piece. An hour later, you would pack that shit up and go roll around in your pile of money.
Yeah.
Like, why am I not doing this? Because I can't fucking sew.
I was going to say, because you can't sew.
I could learn.
You need to learn and learn fast before this craze passes.
Yeah.
Or before Hasbro cottons on and starts making show accurate plushies of their own.
Yeah, we'll see what that happens.
You know, if that actually happens, like, that market is...
gonna die.
Hosed, yeah. I mean, they can still do it for some of the tertiary characters that aren't, like...
main cast.
Main mm-hmm. cast and aren't gonna be worth it for Hasbro to make, but... you know, they're making a fucking Trixie toy now, and they're making a Vinyl toy. That's gonna hit some of the customization market a little bit.
Yeah, to a degree. I mean, there's still going to be people that prefer things one way or the other, but it's making things a lot easier for certain people to acquire.
Yeah.
So, like, get yourself a Nightmare Moon. Like Nightmare Moon. Holy shit. A vinyl that's actually an official toy, you know.
Which is pretty cool. But, yeah, you could, I wonder if this kind of craze is, like, taken off with anything else, like, this as far as... cartoons go. Like, I don't remember people, like, being willing to throw down hundreds of dollars for, like, a Sonic plush back when Sonic was big and that kind of stuff, you know?
I think it is really, like, a perfect storm.
Mm.
You know, you have show creators and show staff interacting positively with the community. There's this sense of camaraderie among most of the fans. They're not, like, most of them aren't dick-waving ass lords who, you know, their OCs are, I'm a double alicorn sister of the princesses and that.
You know. Double alicorn. They're the dragons of the pony community.
They have got four wings and two horns, and they can't do magic for shit.
Because the magic generates off of one horn and crashes into the magic from the other horn. And
no, it's like those, oh, the electric bridge where it's like the two things. And they can't focus it on one thing. It just splits off.
Just keep electrocuting themselves.
Shittiest unicorns ever.
Man, well, if they had two horns, wouldn't it be like a duo horn, duocorn, or something? I don't know. But Panther is whispering some knowledge.
Yes. A Jacob's Ladder.
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Those little electric thingies with the zoom.
Similar, like it arcs it's up between great, the two things.
It's great.
The mad scientist.
Jacob's Ladder is a shitload easier to look up in a dictionary than the little electrical thingy with the zoom.
Look. They are, like, super goddamn common in cartoons.
I know, I know. I love your commitment to scientific accuracy, Saverin.
Bye, Panther. Bye. God, he was like, he'd had enough of our shit.
It doesn't take much these days.
You know, I knew there was a real name for the thing, and it wasn't PKE meter. And I knew that Panther would know what it was.
And he was like, fuck them. They don't know what a Jacob's Ladder is.
Well, see, I thought Jacob's Ladder was just that fucking horrifying series of cock piercings.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Oh, you mean it's sciency too and not just penis related? Well,
and you can still do the electro play with the other kind of Jacob's Ladder.
God, so this episode is off to a really wacky start. So, anyways, it's been an interesting day. Basically, I had fun at the brief time I was at the con.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to fans of both shows.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah, dude, it's crazy because some of my...
I know who you really are.
Yeah, actually. A couple of them were like, dude, I love both your shows. Fuck.
You just turned completely white. Like, gets a thousand-yard stare.
Whatever.
No, I know. You're not majorly in hiding about it or anything.
But it's just one of those, like, dude, I love both your shows. And because, like, Jeff was talking about it to me, and this other guy goes, oh, you do other shows?
As your hoof and mouth just...
he had asked me about, you know, how I got into podcasting. You know, from the very beginning. And I was like, yeah, I've done probably over... I'm nearing 250 episodes of podcasts.
Yeah.
And the dude was like, whoa. His mind was blown.
Like a fox alicorn. Speaking of foxes and ponies, did you see Firefox's logo?
No.
Oh, they posted this to their Facebook. They posted a Firefox logo that is a My Little Pony with a flaming mane and tail curled around the earth like the Firefox logo.
Oh, nice.
It's actually really, really cute.
I'll have to look that up real quick. But it's been a...
It's on their Facebook page, apparently. And EQD tweeted it.
Oh, that's cute as hell.
Isn't it?
My Little Firefox.
Isn't that cute, Jeeva?
Yeah, it's a pony, really, and then the logo is Firefox. So it's like a double Firefox that's a pony hugging the world.
And not humping the world like the furry version of the Firefox logo.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like the little animated one where it's going like, unf, unf. So I was at work all day. Shiva was at work all day, I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. Also, and did Saverin actually had an interesting day. And then it only got longer from there as you did, like, driving around and shit for your family.
Pretty much. I had to get my mom down to Waxahachie to get my dad, basically. And then I was... Because traffic was delayed, I didn't actually help them set up any.
Mm-hmm.
I did have to go purchase a 100-foot power cable for them.
Oh.
But by the time I got back, they were already all packed up, and they'd closed up the booth.
Did they have, like, a massive Jacob's Ladder, and your dad was like, let's light this shit up!
Yep.
Okay.
That is totally how he rolls.
I was gonna say.
Yeah. No, they do have interior lighting and, like, a cash register that they run off of it.
I've seen that truck, man. It's all blinged out. He got the lowrider on there, the neon tubing, and the fucking...
The spiked wheels.
It's like, yeah, it's like, let's just throw all this crap shit out of the back and just fill the bed of the truck with amps and bass. And just...
Yeah.
I'm going to drop the suspension, and I'm going to drop some bass. Aw, yeah.
Wub.
Okay, I'm going to stop being a wub fag. I had a question for you, Saverin.
Okay.
Okay, because I saw these, and I was referring to them as Akon attendees, or anime fans, and that seems really long, but I didn't want to use the wrong shorthand. So can you tell me what the difference is between an otaku and a weeaboo?
Oh.
Okay, an otaku... is somebody that is a big fan of anime. It is a generic term. It is not a neutral. It is not. Or it is very neutral.
Okay.
It is a generic term. A weeaboo is a negative term that denotes somebody who, while American or white or whatever,
thinks they're Japanese.
No,
or wants to be.
Doesn't think that they're Japanese. But holds Japanese culture to be superior, and animation to be superior to anything the West has ever produced, and wants to go to Japan and be an artist.
So idiots.
Yes.
Okay.
The more you know. Now this isn't like the people that go out and be English teachers, because we know a couple.
Yeah, but that's not, I want to move to Japan, because everything's better in Japan.
And be a manga artist, and have all these Japanese friends. We will teach you.
He totally won't say, oh, stupid gaijin, you're so stupid.
Or
whatever Japanese people say, I don't know.
Yeah. So there's the two terms. You now have learned something.
That's great. I mean, I've only ever known one Japanese person, and all he said to me was, harder, harder! Kidding.
He said okay, more than that.
Yeah, that was main time with Shavrin.
Yeah, a weeaboo...
I didn't want to use the wrong term.
Yeah, they're generally otaku.
Oh. So when I went to lunch and back, and I saw a cosplayer, and I was like, that is fucking awesome. He was a Lonely Island cosplayer. He had the blue turtleneck, the chain, and the big aviator sunglasses. I was like, that is fucking awesome.
You know what I saw? While I was in the line from hell, I saw a Flow from Progressive Insurance Commercials cosplayer.
What?
the white chick with the tall black hair and the white outfit?
Yes.
Oh my god.
She was cosplaying the Progressive Insurance lady. Is that not ridiculous?
That is, wow.
But you know what? She's the only one there.
Yeah, very true. I'm sure there's
a half a dozen Vash.
You know, there's probably 20 Tenth Doctors.
But you know what? And a couple Master Chiefs, and but there's only one Flow.
Wow, that's funny as hell.
Hey, you know, I gotta give the chick props. She didn't have to use a wig or anything. She just slapped on a dress and put on a name badge, and she nailed it.
Awesome.
So it was well done. I was impressed.
that's really cool.
Real simple cosplay.
Yeah, but a very recognizable persona. That's funny as hell.
And she had her little price gun. Little
boop. It's just so delightfully random, you know?
Do you want to purchase some giant robot insurance? We have bundle packages for home, house, and automotive.
Just in case the R-5000 comes and breaks your shit.
Oh, God. You know, in the anime universe, there is actually insurance out there for your mecha.
No. Oh. If the insurance is in case of... Mm-hmm. Mecha attack. Oh, God. Gundam insurance.
In case one steps on your house.
Yeah.
Shoots through it.
Gets knocked into it. The nuclear generator inside it blows up and,
you know,
levels
melts.
A block.
You'll get that's a awesome. New That's house. Awesome.
That's it's funny. It's been years since I've done Akon for real. I mean, I've done the Furry Fiesta party every
that's
year.
That's what I'm trying to do this year is just do it for real.
But it's been years since I actually went to it. I kind of get, I'm going to do it. I get down there. It's like, fuck that noise. There's way too many people.
Yeah. See, I've noticed I enjoy the convention atmosphere and even just like walking around down there. I just love watching like all these fans walk around in their different costumes and shit like that. And, you know, I'm not going to get dressed up and shit like that myself, but it's like it's neat to see what people do and to like see these characters that I know from whatever media kind of come to life, and it's just a convention atmosphere. And unfortunately, though, it's like Akon does stink because there's 18,000 people stuffed into that one space.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like five Anthrocons stuffed into the dealer's room.
It's not that bad today.
Yeah.
Because
like some of the coworkers were like, "Oh my god, that smell!" on like Facebook or stuff like that.
Then again, I also can't smell normally, so
right. There was an odor, and also that walkway leading from the hotel to the plaza next door heated up drastically. The air conditioning could not keep up with it. I mean, I just walked across and back, and this is not because I'm fat and out of shape, but I was sweating buckets because it was so damn hot.
It was pretty hot in some parts of the hotel, too, especially in the fucking lines. Because you've got people packed in like cattle going down this queue. And,
yeah.
And, like, the staff are like, pack it in, come on, let's try to get more people in here, they're almost to the door. And nobody was really that interested in getting close up personal with their friend and with their line mate because we're already sweating and we're just standing here.
I noticed on Twitter they had to cut off allowing people to get in the pre-reg line at a point because it was starting to stretch out into the street.
Yeah.
And that's even with all the crazy loop-de-loop that you described in that massive room.
They just don't have enough space. I mean... They don't have a way to process that many people easily. I mean, it's a logistical impossibility, but they really do need to have a way to process people through faster.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a way. I mean, badge printers.
So,
I don't know.
Well, the thing about Dallas Comic Con that they did, if you pre-reg, they mailed you your badge.
Yeah.
And the reason we don't do this at furry conventions is because we ID check at furry conventions and we have minor badges, which at sci-fi cons and at A-Con, they do not have minor badges. It's up to the dealers to actually ID check everybody. But since they don't have minor badges at A-Con, they should just mail people their badges. And then they don't even have to badge check to let people in because you walk into that downstairs area and it's that big open artist alley area. You can walk in there without a badge anyway. You only really need a badge if you're going into the dealer's room or some of the larger panel events and stuff like that.
That's another thing. It's like I spent all of my time except for the little brief period I was in the dealer's room in badgeless areas.
Yeah.
But I plan on going tomorrow and seeing panels. So.
Okay. So that's cool. But, yeah, I mean, they could do that. And you notice we're talking about, like, man, Akon, 18,000 people. Oh, my God, what a massive line. I don't even want to imagine San Diego Comic-Con. I've never been.
I imagine they have different ways.
It's like 125,000 people. And, whoa. Now, they have preview night on Wednesday before the con. And I think there's a cutoff to how many people get into preview night. It's a different badge type than the rest of them. So that, you know, if you let a big chunk of people in for that, but not everybody else, then those people already have their badges the next day. So they don't have to go through any kind of check-in process the next day. I'm not sure how to handle it, but
I don't know.
Just, I cannot even imagine a convention that size, you know, and people think Anthrocon is big. It's like, it's big for furry conventions, but holy fuck, you know, when you get into like mainstream sci-fi fantasy and comic conventions, whew, huge. I don't know if I could handle that. And I could get a pro badge at Comic-Con because I'm a publisher, but I don't know if I want to, you know?
That's kind of daunting. I mean,
I gotta respect the people that can actually go and handle that. And I have friends that go to it every year. And, you know, from what I've heard, like walking across the main hall, it is this slow shuffle. You don't walk. You just shuffle in a big group. And, you know, Hall H is the big hall where they do the big announcements. Like, that's where they had the Avengers panel last year. That's where Kevin Smith usually speaks. That's where they have whatever big things. Where they had the Doctor Who panel is always in Hall H. Shit like that. And it's like, excuse me, drinking soda here. You wait in line, like, 8 hours or 10 hours or something like
that. Is it like Line Con?
Yeah, it's the ultimate line con. And once you get in there, you don't fucking move. I guess you piss in a bucket or something at your feet, you know?
Hope you have a friend that'll save your spot in line long enough to go pee.
Yeah, no, I mean, not even line. Once you're in the panel room, you better fucking sit there. And you better put up with hours of panels you don't give a fuck about if you want a decent seat for the Doctor Who panel or whatever, you know? Because they've actually premiered episodes at Comic-Con and WonderCon before.
Because 2 decades of Rob Liefeld is going to be a shitty panel.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If the next panel is in it, you're going to listen to Rob Liefeld talk about drawing massive man boobs.
See,
unrealistic skeletons.
I think I'd want to do Comic-Con like once. I don't think I'd want to make it an annual pilgrimage. It's like I'd like to do Dragon-Con once, but
yeah,
maybe
I have friends that keep wanting me to go to Otakon.
When is Otakon?
I think it's like right near AC.
So that's like a 25,000 person. That's an anime con.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
It's like when you get to things that are that big, I mean, it's usually so packed that it becomes unwieldy. So,
well, I mean, it's like trying to go to PAX. 125,000 people.
Yeah.
Yeah, PAX is one that I've been curious about, too. But.
Oh, God.
I've been curious about Dragon Con.
Those guys probably bathe in diamonds.
I don't know.
But, man, I don't know. It's
years ago, I was like, oh, man, I wish I'd gone to Dragon Con because Patrick Stewart was there. And now I've met Patrick Stewart, so I'm like, okay.
He touched you.
He touched you.
There's something off the bucket list.
Yeah, exactly. One less reason to go to Dragon Con. I've already seen Voltaire. There's another reason I don't need to worry about it.
I don't know. Well, like I said, I used to enjoy Akon a lot more when it was... I hate to say it, my favorite place that they held it was when it was out at the airport. Mm-hmm. And that's just because I knew a shitload of artists that went to it, and I would be up all night drawing with them. And once they took that space away, it kind of lost a lot of its thrill for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if they have to move soon. You know?
I think that this for next year is probably the last year at that hotel.
Yeah, because it's way too big. It's in the hotel next door, and the whole, we probably mentioned this before previous years, but the whole pain in the ass is that there's a federal office or an FBI office of some kind in the Plaza of the Americas. So you're not allowed to bring weapons into that building, even fake ones.
Or masks.
Or peace-bonded ones, and you're not allowed to wear masks.
And that's where all the video games are.
And they, yeah, they have all their gaming in the Westin in that building, so people have to leave all of their fake weapons at the door. At least this year they actually had a check-in for it, I saw. But previous years they hadn't, and they just have angry-looking people that work in that building going, no, 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 you know, just turning people away. But, you know, if they got into, like, the Dallas Convention Center or something, it would probably be big enough. But so we should probably go ahead and move on to an email. I think that's about all we got going on here. And we'll have the rest of your ACON report next episode when you'll have done Saturday and Sunday. By the way, for folks, this week is
Califer.
Califer is this weekend, and there is also one in Canada. I want to say it's What the Fur is in Canada this weekend. I'm not sure. There's like three or four Canadian cons. I'm not 100% on all the names. But, yeah, there's a couple of furry conventions going on this weekend. So if anybody out there in listener land goes to Califer or the Canadian con, whichever it is.
What's the furry?
What the furry? Well, actually, there's one called Fur A, and then there's What the Fur, and then there's Vancouver, and then there's Feral.
And then there's Poutine Con.
Yeah, there should be a Poutine Con. That'd be awesome. You know, I'd have, like, in for another Australian one, I'd have like an angry koala con or clock spider con, something. You know, I don't know. So,
I guess I'll read an email.
Yeah, read an email. Biatch.
All right, multi-ear sounds. Bubstep.
Yeah, I'm dropping the bass.
Hello, knots of the triangle table.
Are you going to pick it up again?
Nope. So you asked about sounds right that I might so listen to.
You trip over it.
And more like specifically, the podcast.
I'm dropping words so that Sheba trips over them. Aw, yeah.
Know that I have broken them down into three parts.
Okay, we should let Sarah read an email. He's apparently wants to be unfazed.
I also want to go to bed at some point.
Oh, you're not going to. It's 10 o'clock.
You are such an old man.
We're not going to be done till like 11:30 at this rate.
You're like, oh, I'm shivering. I was standing on my feet all day in a line. Shut up. Read your email.
Whoosh. So, anyways.
Look at me. I'm the biggest idiot ever.
Podcast flip engage. All right. Anyways, I'm gonna read an email now, guys.
Okay.
Hey guys, can you read an email? Okay. Hey, mom, do you want me to read an email?
You're so professional. Anyways, part one, Furry. A show that just returned for their fourth season is Act Fur On Air, a wonderful show that is scripted with stories, news, and other wonderful stuff from around Australia, and has many furries. Who Furs is another. I cannot wait for its return, and as I cannot see them not returning, they are the ones who made me love Doctor Who once again. The third is Unsheathed, a fantastic writing furry podcast that I love going to the live shows. The last one, Kam Hirasaki, was drinking wine out of a bucket.
Yep. So that was either Rainforest or Rocky Mountain FurCon. I can't remember.
Setting forth a fantastic example for the next generation of writers. Drink wine. Part two. Gaming. There are several that I listen to, so not to bore Fuzz, I'll hit the high points. There's Major Nelson, who has 400 episodes under his belt, mostly talking about the Xbox, but includes some other things like that are nerdism. There's the Escapist Magazine podcast, which covers a lot of different gaming aspects as well as other things off the wall. And finally, Tor Wars, which is a podcast about Star Wars The Old Republic.
It's about Chakats fighting.
so awkwardly L-shaped.
Tor Wars. Taryn listens to the Escapist podcast.
Yep. And part three, entertainment. This part covers many different subjects, but I find them all entertaining. The first, and I must say funniest to listen to, is a show about multicolored equine ponies that I believe you guys might know something about.
Personal Small Horse.
The show that combines two of my favorite hosts, one who did a furry podcast that got me listening to podcasts in the first place, and another who is still doing the same podcast I've been listening to since show number one. Another podcast to listen to from that great radio network NPR, and the guys from Car Talk. I've been finally able to keep my car running due to these two funny brothers. Finally, the Rooster Teeth podcast, formerly the Drunk Tank podcast. These are the guys who just started the 10th season of Red vs. Blue, a machinima series that uses the Halo video game and for an additional animation to make short videos out of Austin, Texas. Well, those are the tri parts of the podcast to listen to, but there is one more that is my top podcast of all other podcasts, and that is Notcast! Exclamation point! I've been with you guys since
the
beginning.
I'm glad we were on the list somewhere.
Yay!
People I was wondering. Like
I've been with you guys from the beginning, though, through the robbery and the chains and hosts, so I still won't say thank you for the many, 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 oh God, what's become my life, years and episodes, running cat. If you have PPS, if you have trouble reading this, I blame Shiva. PPS, when are we going to learn another rule? PPPS, do you think you guys might be updating your opening music?
We'd have to, talk to sub-level 3.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm happy with the music, but I mean, you know, maybe every few hundred episodes we should change it or something.
Yeah.
We'll change it for my 50th birthday.
Okay.
Welcome to Notcast episode 2374.
Oh, God.
Touch it. I can't reach arthritis.
You touch it for me.
You know, rule 4, if we give a shout out, Saverin should not take his cock out. There we go. Yay, we appreciate our longtime listeners. Been here since day one, my God.
Wolf should update that, in, 30 years or 40 years. It should be like, touch it. Please. Okay, so.
Read an email, Fuzz.
I'm going to read an email.
Yay!
I'm going to read one that actually kind of addresses me. Hello, Fuzzwolf, Savage, Shiva, and any queests. I'm Grenthorn, a male snowwolf, and I would like to comment on Fuzz's question for Ritters for his book project. I would like to become a better Ritter, so yeah, this seems like a great chance to get better. But this email isn't all joyful. This may be off topic, but I haven't been up to date on topics, so please forgive me. I'm in a long-distance relationship with a girl a year younger than me, and we're both still in school, with our stresses and emotions aggravating us, and we don't have much time to talk, so it's on the weekends and or night for a little bit. But now, recently, I've found out a good friend of mine is wanting to be my mate, and I've been getting closer to a really good friend of mine. So my question is, how can I keep my relationship alive and possible persuade her to make it an open relationship? Any input would be appreciated, and the ages will be in a PS because I prefer it not to be publicly known. I thank you individuals very much for any advice you give. Your adoring fan, Grenthorn. So.
That was read verbatim.
That was read verbatim. So.
Verbalm.
Rule number one of becoming a good writer. Learn how to spell writer. It has one T, not two.
Very important.
I'm sorry to be an incredible dick to you, but oh my God, the spelling.
A little.
And the lack of capitalization of the word I, the words that are crammed together, the severe lack of even using a spell check on this, and you have a lot of work to do, dude.
Good news is, you got a lot of time.
Take every writing class at school and college that you can. Take creative writing to help you work on creative writing and more, I know that seems obvious, but more abstract stuff, and also take every English comp class type of thing that you can.
Yeah, just pack to, in the English and the language skills.
Just to nail down the fundamentals. Because, yeah, you need some work there. And anybody else want to address the rest of the question?
Addressing the actual questions, I mean, you're both really young. You don't try to do anything too serious. Just kind of go with the flow.
And I don't know about the open relationship with as young as you are.
Yeah, just...
That work on perfecting one relationship first, then go to open.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty much all I can recommend.
It's just one of those things. Just, you know, just don't even try to do anything super serious right now. Just have some fun and try to figure this stuff out through trial and error. Because, you know, one relationship at a time.
Just, yeah. At least until you have some experience with relationships.
Yeah.
Oh, the next one. This one's going to be fun to tear apart. I mean, hear from Sheba.
Oh. God.
What one are you thinking of?
Ideal podcast.
Oh, that one. I see. Now we're going backwards. I'm getting confused
because I skipped that one because it had the question about the ridding.
Oh, okay. Okay. Hello again, throbbing knots and barbed ones. Motoko, you here again, responding and such. An ideal podcast. Well, there's no such thing. It's like having a perfect song. At different times, you have different tastes and desires. But y'all bring humor to my week. But there are things that I would change. First, the sound quality. Yes, yes, I know, file size and all that, but bits and pieces really do sound like ass. Could we maybe order CD, DVDs of higher quality from Fur Planet? That assumes you still have the high-quality source files, though. Of a particular anger is a quiet buzzing sound through every broadcast and a distortion of high pitch, particularly when certain people laugh. Probably
that's,
me.
That's just Shiva's robot voice.
Oh, shush.
We need to replace the batteries in her... Laugh-o-meter.
Second, the volume. Oh, geez, I'll be riding on the big diesel-powered buses, moderate noise, not exactly a jet, on my way to college. It takes over an hour, so I'll throw on a podcast, but the main volume is too low that even with the iPod cranked to maximum, y'all can't be heard. Now, we can always turn the little knobby thingy down, but it's impossible to turn it up past a certain point. A 25% volume increase would rather help things and bring it into the realm of normal iTunes song. Third, more stories and music. I rotate my stock of podcasts on my iPod. I've kept the Furry Story Hour and Rocking New Year's Eve specials on there since I found them. I'd almost say less emails. Yes, that's the main crux of the podcast, but it's generally the least interesting part, even when compared to those horrid things you call ponies in Doctor Who.
You hear that? This guy just dissed Doctor Who.
No, he dissed ponies and just appended Doctor Who to the end of the list.
I suppose this might be because I have no intimate relationships or much non-college drama, so I've got nothing to write in about or take down notes unless you want to do an all on getting first dates. Do an episode, sorry. There's a problem that seems to be in a constant in multiple fandoms, though. I could pound on the door yelling, let me in, but it never seems to happen. I mean, what all am I supposed to do? The college schedule won't let me go to most conventions, even if costs weren't prohibitive enough to fly across country. The local furs are fickle enough to turn their nose up at you for wearing, say, a furry shirt versus an anime shirt. And my FA account is extremely bare because I'm not an artist. What am I supposed to post? Omer or I came until the end of time?
Yes.
Right. What I actually do post is a journal about how cream of wheat is deceptively hard to cook and other tidbits of my failings. They're supposed to be funny, but I don't think I've ever gotten a comment. The wolf in the shower forever trying to smell nice, Motoko you.
Okay, so this gives us an opportunity to talk about our feelings on, because am I right in thinking that you thought of this podcast topic based on our conversations on Tuesday about editing and so forth.
Yeah, to a degree.
Because you're always kind of inspired by shit that we say on Twitter or in a random conversation or just derping around or something, which is cool. The whole thing with podcasts is that there are some audio files out there that are like that want everything and like fucking beyond CD quality. That's insane and is not going to happen. There's not a real big market for people purchasing media of podcasts. I mean, even Kevin Smith doesn't sell like just a DVD of just the audio, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. It's just not feasible. It's, you know, yeah, I guess print on demand, we could make more things on a DVD or something, but, you know, there's...
Even then, you're running up against space, because, like, sure, I could render this out in 320 kilobit, you know, AAC maximum quality from God. Okay, well, you're going to get, what, 12 episodes on a disc of that size? A 4.7 gigabyte?
Yeah, DVD. There's no point. And
we don't sound that good, really.
And I've got 8 million other things that are actually going to sell. You know, books and comics and art books and everything else that For Planet makes that
yeah.
take a lot of work. And, you know, just a podcast project like that that's really not going to go anywhere and is not really going to have any kind of benefit to us. You know, it's just not feasible. And yeah, server space is kind of a big deal. I mean, the bandwidth is not really a problem. Recently we added that. Well, recently I say like a year and a half ago, we added the other drive that has like way more physical hard drive space than it used to. But up until we added that, like Notcast was, well, Savin, you're twisting around your
I see it.
Wires there.
I'm on the tangle.
Yeah.
Don't break the podcast.
You know, Notcast was taking up this massive amount of space on the server, and it was like, yeah. You know, that's why we stopped doing stuff like the stereo feed, because, like, very few people were actually listening to it. And those files
were big.
Fucking huge. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a couple folks out there that are like, oh my God, it needs to be in better quality. Really kind of doesn't. I mean, and I think we've discussed this before that, like, you know, a lot of shows, the average is like 64 kbps. You know, sometimes you'll see 96, and you don't really often see 128, and certainly not much higher than that. For just a audio medium that's free and something that we just throw out there for entertainment value, and, you know, there's really not a benefit to making massive files. And you're not really going to get much more fidelity out of... I mean, the music track might sound a little bit better, but if the music track sounds a little shitty than that, and you like the song, that encourages you to go out and actually buy it or seek it out on FA or whatever the original source material is and support those artists. You know, as opposed to just clipping it out of the MP3 of the audio file or something like that, which some people do. But I mean, that's partially why podcasts are lower quality than CD quality. So that was just something I wanted to address on podcast quality.
The volume.
I don't know about the volume. It sounds fine to me. I can't hear it when I'm in the train underground.
Yeah, the stories.
But I can't hear anything.
Yeah, the stories and music. I mean, there's only so many wacky things that go on
in a week.
And we tangent off of those. But, like, I don't know what else you want. As for the furry music, actually, I had a guy contact me. About it, and I haven't had a chance to listen to his stuff, but I'll probably stick one of his songs in.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
I just need to look at the FA notes.
Yeah.
But really, there isn't, like, a musician community that listens to this and says, hey, you could totally play some of my stuff on your show. And that's fine.
We kind of have to seek people out if we're going to
And
do
I just
that.
Don't even know where to start. To find, you know, people doing good original music.
Well, you know, those kinds of things are special projects, basically. You know, that I don't remember how long I took to get the list and the files for the New Year's Eve special, but it was a good few weeks, I think, and I started emailing and PMing various people that I knew had a song and that I wanted, and being like, "Hey, can I do this and stuff?" You know, that's like a one-off or an occasional thing. It would be cool to do more special project kind of stuff. I need some help on it. We need to divvy up that workload a little bit, because I know for me personally, I'm so busy with the day job and for Planet that I can't put a lot of time into podcasting recently. And that's also kind of why Who Furs hasn't come back lately. It's that, you know, I'm still kind of slowly adjusting to my life again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this year is going to be insane, what with, you know, trying to buy a house and all. So, you know, maybe we could come up with an idea and we could, like, divvy out the workload on it between the three or four of us, you know,
mm-hmm.
if we wanted to do something special. I'm down with doing more occasional specials and doing alternate ideas to the emails now and then, just to kind of vary it up a little bit. But, you know, the volume, I've never had anybody complain about the volume on the podcast before. And it always sounded fine to me, so
I have no idea.
As far as, you know, is that a question, I guess, about being able to get in a fandom?
You gotta put the work in. You gotta do something. You can participate on forums, participate in roleplays, try your hand at doing art, try your hand at doing music.
Because there's also special interest groups out there for just subsets of furry. And they might not be local to you, but they might have something that you are interested in. Like, there's photography groups, there's model train groups, there's all kinds of sub, you know, par. Not subpar, but sub, I have no words, leave me alone.
Subsections?
That's the word.
Okay. There's not really, I mean, I don't think you necessarily have to produce something in the furry fandom. I think you can just be a fan, and that's fine. It sounds like, I don't know what area of the country you're living in, so I don't know what your local community actually is, but man, they, you know, with being fickle and turning their nose up you for really minor things, that sounds a little crazy. I'm thinking, hopefully, that they can't all be like that. So it's really just a question of not giving up and finding more than those, you know, people to talk to. There's got to be, because in, like, every group, you have, like, there may be, like, one group that is the big noticeable group that people go to. They show up at the meets and they hang out. And those people may be awesome, or they may be dicks. And if they're dicks, then there is a whole vibrant community somewhere else that just doesn't associate with them and is kind of on the down low and is not going to, like, the big public meets and are doing more private one-on-one meets. So my advice, if you go to, like, the big public meet, is just find a friend. Make one or two friends out of that group and then network from there. You know, and they will introduce you to people. And, you know, eventually you see people not going to the big public 40-person meets as much, you know, or those people that attend those meets kind of cycle in and out a little bit as they kind of form their own little groups and, you know, people of like mind, people that they get along with and so forth. You know, it's a very evolving kind of process, but you know, I would just say just try to find one or two people that you click with, that you have something in common with, and go from there. Saren,
on that note,
we should probably stop and save.
Stop and save.
Okay.
And talk about Adam and Eve. Are you?
No.
All right, so we're back, and the file is saved, and we're going to be interesting. And by being interesting, we're going to talk about an item from AdamEve.com.
Stongs, stongs, stongs.
No, this week's item is an Adam and Eve massaging vibrator. What does it look like? A Hitachi magic wand. How is it not a Hitachi magic wand? You can get 50% off with our coupon code, not with it. It's pretty much a Hitachi magic wand that's not one. It looks pretty much like it. It is a plug into the wall massager slash vibrator. Well, it's primarily a massager. If you're a girl, it can be a vibrator. Mm-hmm. I don't think dudes are going to shove the big bulbous end up their ass, but hey! I'm sure somebody has tried.
And succeeded.
So it's $54.95. It's back ordered. It'll ship on the 16th of June. And it's got 4 stars and 459 reviews. So it's so pretty good.
That's a pretty solid 4-star review.
Yeah. It's $55, and if you use our coupon code NOT, that will take it half off. So it's $27.48, and you get the free shipping and all that goodies. 3 free DVDs, mystery gift,
shipping,
etc. Free shipping in the U.S., not counting Alaska and
Hawaii
because, well, y'all aren't real states, are you?
Not according to the birthers.
Nope.
Oh.
So get yourself a really nice massager, because, I mean, I've felt a Hitachi magic wand as just a massager on my back, and it feels good. It's a really... I mean, you plug it into the damn wall.
Bzzz.
Yeah. So that's some pretty serious business. So there you go, AdamEve.com. Get yourself a Adam and Eve massaging vibrator.
Buzz, buzz, buzz.
Bzz, bzz,
work the kinks out of your back.
Or other places if you're a girl.
Yep.
You know, they, it gets all kinked and, you know, bunched up. You got to work out all the little...
right.
I'm sorry, it's late.
It is very late. See, it's 10:49. I told you guys to be like 11:30 before we're done. Probably later. So, moving on to the next email. No subject. Hey, guys. Since this week's topic is about podcasts, I thought I'd write in with some thoughts on them. Generally, I enjoy podcasts which are good-humored and fun, and more specifically when it comes to the fandom. It often really helps when they are also informative, giving help and advice, or giving us all an insight into all things furry. And what makes the podcast, of course, is the presenters. For me, they gotta be likable. Well... so much for us. Anthropod was the first one I was introduced to until it ended. It actually been so long since I listened to it, I can't say much about it. But I remember it being very well done and disappointed that it had ended. Once that came to an end, I went to War Rose Warren and Fursonopod, both of which I really enjoyed. Fursonopod had a great layout and always gave me some good info and insight into the furry fandom, and I think it was great for me as a new fur. As for Wairo, I've always enjoyed listening to him. I found him charismatic and easy to listen to, good-natured and humorful. It is actually Wairo who led me to use guys. Your podcast always has the ability to make me laugh as well as giving me valuable information and advice. There is, of course, Hoofers as well, which is pretty awesome.
Yay!
Anyways, thank you. Keep up the good work. Your loyal listener, Miles. P.S. A couple people in the last couple of episodes mentioned the saying, you can't polish a turd. To quote Jimmy Carr, you can't polish a turd, but you can roll it in glitter.
And bedazzle it.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right, your turn, Fuzz.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All yours.
Okay, let's see. Oh, okay. Follow-up to your response. Hey again, Notcast. Just wanted to clarify after you answered my question on butt sex, because I think you guys thought I've not bottomed much, and that was the problem. I am pretty experienced with putting stuff in my ass, but have a mate who's a bit too big for me. Won't go into specific dimensions, but suffice it to say, long. And it hurts if he gets carried away and thrusts too deep. I was wondering if there's a way to be able to take it, as I usually just maneuver in a position where it doesn't go so deep. But from what Savrin said about how sharp the bend up there is, it sounds like no. I guess my butt doesn't fit giant tiger dicks. Thanks for reading and answering, Cootie Fox.
Yeah, sometimes butts.
There's limits.
There's limits.
And live, you know, within them, or you will live with regret.
It's not like in those comics where, like, Kip Fox takes, like, 30 goddamn dicks at the same time, and his anus is a cavern on the other side. It's not like that, I'm afraid.
Okay. So, thanks for writing us back. Let's see, next one. Moving out. Dear Notcast, I'm thinking of moving in with my mate, and there are a few things stuck in my mind since this will be the first time moving out of home. My first concern is that I will be leaving my large social network of friends, family, and coworkers to be with him in another state where his social network mainly consists of his mother. This would be fine, but it's his hometown, and he plans on relying on me to help him socialize and make friends. What worries me with all of that is that he won't do the same thing for me if I were unable to move due to his close relationship with his mother, single parent. We have talked about this, but it leaves me feeling that it's one-sided and I have to make all the sacrifices to be together. For me, moving up there would be beneficial as my family plans a moving house this year, and it would allow me to achieve a full-time position for my work. I have been taking frequent visits to see him in the past year, and I know we could have a strong relationship, but I'm just worried that it will strain me if I'm the only one person, if I'm the only person he socializes with when we live together. Any help would be greatly appreciated, or appreciate, whatever. Rayfar. Yeah, I can see how that would be worrisome. Sometimes you just get with somebody who's a wallflower and they don't socialize. It may be, I mean, okay, I'm pretty much case in point. I am not a wallflower, but my mate Siam doesn't go anywhere, doesn't do anything, doesn't have really much in the way of external friends. He's got a couple people, but most live far away right now. But he doesn't have a lot of social friends locally. As a result, when we socialize, it's all of my friends, which I end up dragging him around to. And that's just the way things are. It's something I've had to come to terms with over many years of, you know, he's just a wallflower, and that's what he's going to be. I mean, it's not that much of a strain for me, because he's pretty self-sufficient. It's not like he clings to me like, I'm his dying last gasp of social. I mean, he doesn't care that much.
He's not like a suckerfish, a lamprey attached to one of your fins.
Yeah, I mean, he's just not that social. So it may be like this situation where he's content with a normal relationship with you and no big social circle outside, or not. I mean, until you get there, that's going to be. But again, like you, I left my social circle, moved in with him. He had like one friend. And after that, I made friends. And then I made friends when we moved here to Texas, and I made friends.
Make so, all the friends.
Basically. So it's not so much relying on him as do your thing, new place, and you'll build a whole new circle. That's me, and that's me living with a wallflower. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I took a, you know, I did the same thing. I moved away from actually a close relationship with my parent and a big social circle and everything when I moved in with Tieran. And, you know, that was kind of jumping into the unknown. But once I got here, I was able to make friends and kind of network from one person to another. And
look at where you are now.
Right, and, you know, eventually get to a point where I have, you know, that core group of friends that I'm happy hanging out with. But, you know, if you're the kind of person that's quite social and has a knack in social situations of being able to make friends and start meetups and things like that, then you will probably be able to pick up something like that in the new situation if you do make the jump and move out there. But yeah, you know, like Shiva said, I mean, some people don't get it. It's tough because, like, you know, I would I wouldn't set out to change your mate, you know, into something that they're not. But, you know, you might try getting them out a little bit to enjoy some social time with some small groups of people, you know, just to kind of bring them out of the shell a little bit.
No, I'm not. Yeah. I don't really have input on this one because my moving has been
from
Fort Worth
to Dallas. That's what, a 45-minute drive?
About an hour.
But like once I moved to Dallas, that's where I made all my friends. Because when I moved, it was with Panther, and my previous social circle had self-distracted because I'm a faggot. So I had the queer and was untouchable.
Right, because nobody wanted to catch the gay from you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I think that one's pretty much wrung out.
All right.
One more each.
Yup. All right, relationship worries. Hello, Notcast. I'm an 18-year-old gay wolf who needs some advice. I myself have always been extremely shy, yet somehow outgoing with the people I know. That's because you know them. I met this guy who became a very good friend of mine pretty quickly, and after a while I started to develop feelings for him. It was not a crush-type feelings, more of along the lines of romantic intimacy whenever I talked to him. He was and is still very difficult to read emotionally, and I have a hard time telling what he's thinking. But therein lies the problem. Eventually, he and I confessed feelings for each other and have since had a wonderful relationship, yet there's only one problem having. For my entire life, I've dealt with an ungodly amount of people who never seem to either tell the truth, and because of that, I have a hard time believing some things my mate says. But at the same time, I do believe it. I never feel like he lies, but my second nature always makes me wonder about how he truly feels. He's easily the most caring and loving man I've ever met, and he's very intelligent, witty, and has a beautiful mind and body. Basically, that perfect boyfriend that's not supposed to exist. The one person you spend your entire life searching for. And yes, he and I have been together for quite some time now. Even someday hope to marry him. With things between he and I grow intimate, he says things to me that I can't imagine being true, just because it's not my nature to believe compliments. I know he loves me, but when he compliments my body, I blush and become intently nervous and shy, and sometimes this ruins the moment. Thank God he's understanding about my problem, but it does seem to bother him. But he told me that he refused to do anything with me if I feel uncomfortable doing it. I want to enjoy our moments more, but it seems that I can't break past the barrier that is around myself. It's emotionally and mentally unhealthy for myself, and I can't think of a possible way to get past it. I cry myself to sleep sometimes thinking about this. Please help me. Sincerely, Zillwolf.
Sounds like some self-esteem.
That's definitely self-esteem stuff. Because, you know, there are guys out there that they mean what they say, and they say what they mean. And, you know, when they give you a compliment, that's not something that they say lightly. And I could see where your partner would be frustrated in this.
I mean, if you're sitting there and you're lavishing heartfelt comments on someone, you know, like, you're cute, you're awesome, I love you, and they kind of just brush it off, it's... I mean, you're pouring out your heart and they're basically calling you a liar. It hurts. So, yeah.
It does take a while to deal with self-esteem issues, though. And, you know, 18, you are pretty young in that. You know, that can take years, you know, depending on how your self-esteem is to start with, you know. I mean, it was, you know, quite a while for me, you know. I felt shitty about myself well into my 20s. A lot of times I didn't show it, you know, kind of put on a brave face, but I had a hard time receiving compliments, and it was, you know, I was recently advised that, you know, the next time somebody compliments you, don't don't wave it off. Don't second guess it. You know, even if someone just compliments you just for like a job well done, don't be like, oh, it was nothing or anything like that.
Just say thank you.
Just say thank you and move on. And it'll kind of get easier to accept compliments after a while. And, you know, it's not being arrogant or anything. It's not being arrogant or anything like that to do that.
It's just being graceful.
Yeah. Gracious. Gracious. It's like they're putting the compliment out there. Just accept it and move on. And even if you don't feel that it's true, you know, just the act of saying it aloud and going through with it, it does help you after a while, and it does kind of start to seep into your psyche after a bit.
So, if nothing else, don't be gracious for the sake of your mate.
That too, yeah, good point.
Just so that, you know, it takes a lot to put yourself to give those kind of compliments too, because you're afraid that they're going to, you know, basically poo-poo them. So just accept them. Smile, nod. Even if you don't believe them, just take them and run with it.
You can even say thanks.
I mean, blush, smile, maybe squirm a little, but don't.
Oh, God. Yeah. Your shy guys are so hot. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but don't go, oh, no, I'm not cute. I'm, you know, blush and squirm and, you know, smile.
Mm-hmm.
But don't say, no, I'm not. Don't shoot it down.
Don't be like, you were lying. Behold my hideous true form.
And your face opens up and just fucking line of teeth vertical.
So yeah,
child,
don't do that.
It is not this force field that prevents you, protects me, you from me. It's, I don't know.
Fuck, it was just...
You lost it.
I'm not stuck in here with you. You're stuck in here with me.
Yeah, it was this picture of this manatee looming over a child in an aquarium. God. Those types of, like, it's like, you exist because I allow it. You will end because I demand it. And, you know, the lines from, like, Harbinger and stuff. God, now I gotta find it.
So I'm just like, manatee?
Oh, the huge manatee.
Oh, bad. Anywho, do we have anything more to add on that one?
I don't. I'm waiting to see the picture of the manatee. You should totally link this in the show notes, since, like, last week you mentioned shit and didn't link it, and now people are like, oh my god, was that, like, pony shipping? Ah!
Manatee.
You're porn! No!
It's not porn.
Manatee and pony hot action.
It was two ponies on top of each other.
Are you sure it wasn't porn?
I'm not. He claims it wasn't porn.
It's never porn.
Ever?
What's this?
Doing it wrong.
It's a horse that is falling backwards onto a human, crushing her into the dirt.
Oh, jeez.
Probably horse broke ribs.
Riding a human. Yeah, horses are not light animals.
No, they're rather hefty creatures.
Mm-hmm.
But anywho.
I said all I was going to say on that.
Yeah, about the same.
Who's next?
You're...
Oh, is it my turn to read?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Let me get the yawn out now before I start. Who read the last one?
Severin.
You
did?
Okay, because I was going to read the shorter one, but I won't stick you with the long one, so. I'll read the long one.
I don't get the long one.
An open topic email for an open topic week. Hey, casters, this might be sound too much like a self-advertisement, so feel free to skip it. Sincerely yours, TJ here once again, and as of late, I've been doing a lot of listening to the backlog. Right now, I'm on episode 106 and still making my way forward. But around the mid-90s of episodes, there were a few riders telling you about their bike tales and how Notcast distracted them on their rides. That got me thinking of my own tales, and I thought I would share them with you. You guys have been keeping me company over the past year or so while I do many different things. Mow the lawn, cook in the kitchen at work when my managers aren't around, on a drive to my boyfriend's place, and while I work out. Honestly, I've probably used my iPod more for Notcast than for music this past year plus. Recently, that has been more exercising. Over the past 10 weeks or so, I've been attempting to train when I can get off my rump and do it. I've ridden a total of 595.8 miles in the past 10 weeks, and over 150 miles of that was done over the last week. During my two biggest rides, a little over 90 miles and a little under 60 each, I have mainly been listening to Notcast. I've been pedaling my way around Ohio. I have been grinning all the while, listening to many fun episodes, including the wonderful episode 100 and start of the Yaff Yaff. While I have been having a lot of fun, as I said before, it has been training for a much bigger ride. From June 3rd to the 9th, I am participating in the AIDS Life Cycle. It is a 7-day, 545-mile bike ride that goes from San Francisco to Los Angeles, and an amazing fundraiser. While I volunteered last year and helped feed the riders as they made their way to L.A., this year I will be a rider myself. But to be a rider, one needs to raise a minimum of $3,000. I am not getting a cent of this money personally. It is all going to the San Francisco AIDS Foundation and helps them with so many things. They run support groups, give free services and HIV testing citywide, do so much to support people via the Stonewall Project, give access to needle exchanges, as well as help those that need help, and help people with HIV, AIDS, in too many ways to list. The fandom is known as a great place to raise money, and I was hoping you guys wouldn't mind if I asked for some help here. I am still quite a bit away from my goal and need to raise more money. My donation page is at www.tofighthiv.org/go-to/TJ Mendeville. And Savern, if you could put that in the show notes so that we don't have to spell that out. And any help I can get would be welcome and greatly appreciated, no matter the size. Thank you, casters, for helping me in high spirits over this past year. For keeping me in high spirits over this past year, excuse me. And I look forward to more laughs until you choose to stop casting. Keep it up, guys. You're doing some amazing stuff here. There is my bike tale of cheer. I have a tale of woe that Notcast helped created, but I shall save that story for the next open topic week. Until then, TJ.
I think we can also do, I don't know if we'll have the show out in time, but we can probably tweet his address, you know, and such over Twitter, maybe get some.
Hey, he's 46% there.
Oh, yeah. Good.
So maybe we can get some stuff going.
Okay, yeah, we'll put, you know, shout out there, put that in the notes, and
we'll tweet that out. Well, tomorrow's a second, so we got to get going.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
It's a shout out. Yeah, we can at least tweet it out. You know, and when you upload the episode, it'll go on the URL will show up in the news feed on the website. People can click it.
Yeah, but we'd have to get the show out like tonight.
What was the date on it again? I archived it.
3rd through the 9th. Today is the 1st, and there's not much of it left.
So, yeah, but I think he can still raise money while he's riding, right?
I don't know. I don't know if he has to have that before he rides or not.
Oh. Ugh.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay, we'll tweet it out. We'll throw it in the notes just in case, you know, maybe people can still donate.
And maybe make a couple noises about it tomorrow and retweet it.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Notcast. This is most likely a non-topic email, but while watching the 11 o'clock local news, I saw this gem. Vanguard High School in Ocala refused to recognize the GSA, Gay Straight Alliance, for anyone who doesn't know, as an official high school, official club. And the man, I use that term lightly, they interview who's opposed to the GSA is almost a perfect stereotype for bigots who are against gay rights. A senior citizen with a distinct southern drawl, a pickup with a bumper sticker of the church he goes to, and he's sitting on a rocking chair in the front of a rundown house. When he played the Jesus card, I facepalmed and then laughed for about 10 minutes straight because I couldn't take him seriously. Then he links the story. I apologize. It's not a wall of text. It's like one paragraph.
Barely even that.
Sincerely, KG Koala. So, yeah, we'll put the link in the show notes, too.
Yep. Savern, get on that.
to the vet show.
No, it's not my cock. I meant on the show notes. Fucking foxes. Anyway.
I know, you said get on and they immediately hop on dicks.
Yeah, it's just all of a sudden it's just can't help himself.
So yeah.
It's full of dicks.
Nom 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 nom.
So yeah. So next week, episode 180, shit is fucking backwards.
Yep.
I almost forgot about that until we got to the end of the episode. I was like, oh, right. So that's what next week will be about. We'll have to write up a post on that. But anyway, so what else are we doing here? You're going to Akon the rest of the weekend. So next week.
Tomorrow at least.
Tomorrow at least. So next week we could talk about that. Registration open for Furry Fiesta.
Yep.
So if you want to go to Furry Fiesta 2013, you should, do so. Yeah. Because you save money by registering earlier. I think the prices go up sometime soon. Oh, and for anyone who wants to be a dealer at Further Confusion, they just opened their dealer reg today. So you can check out their website for that. Since we are just 2 weeks away from Anthrocon, I'm going to go throw this out there again. I now have pretty much everything, all except one item that we're waiting on being finalized, added to FurPlanet.com for the new releases that are coming out for AC. So if you go to the website, click on the new items link on the left-hand menu, and you will see three whole pages of new stuff that we're bringing out for AC. We have an unreasonably large number of new titles coming out. We've basically got something for everyone. I am actually particularly happy that we've got our first hardcover book with the erotic art of Jeremy Bernal. It's a sexy fur collection. If you've been following Deep Dark on Fur Affinity and Unconditional on Fur Affinity, we'll be doing print editions of both of those books, and they're available for pre-order. And we also have some stuff that, you know, you've never seen anywhere before. Since then, Frat House Blues 3, there's some Art Decade stuff, there's just all kinds of stuff. There's a new Lap and Bow comic called Kron, which is a barbarian adventure with sex comic. It's basically like a horny Conan. Yeah, it's in that old. It's going to be in that old magazine style format, like some of the big old Conan graphic novels and so forth. So I'm not going to go through everything because there's literally too much to mention on here. There's like three whole pages of new stuff. Oh, one thing I do want to mention is University Tales. We have a lot of beefy bear comics and stuff like that, you know, big sweaty guys humping, that sort of thing. You know, we have a few artists that do that sort of stuff. But this one is actually more what I'm into. University Tales is an anthology. It's all girly boy porn, which I'm really happy about. It's 82 pages. It's four different comics. Grayscale. It's only $20. Girly Boy is doing it. In my opinion, doesn't get much better than that. But that might just be me. So, just decided to randomly end the show on a pimp note there. So,
yay, pimping.
Yeah, so check out our pre-orders, and if you're going to be at AC, you know, come by our table.
Say hi.
We're on row A against the wall, tables 9, 10, and 11. And, yeah, we're deep in the midst of prepping for Anthrocon now. I can't believe it's only 2 weeks away. Oh, God.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh,
all the oh gods forever. Like, I need to fix that.
So.
Okay.
On that note.
What about next week's topic?
We mentioned it twice already.
Yeah, we mentioned it at the beginning of the show and the end of the show.
Episode 180. where we give intentional bad advice in before assholes are like, well, how's that different from your regular advice?
Well, we usually try.
We try.
There will be no try next week. There will be no try.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, I let's do a mix, you know, be like, yeah, if people also, write in.
Russian roulette on if you'll get good advice or bad. No.
I'm saying if people write in with a serious question, then we might joke around like we usually do, but we will try to give them some serious advice. But, man, maybe people should just write in with some fucking crazy shit next week, and we'll just be like, cool story, bro, you know, or whatever, and then we'll, I don't know. We'll make something up. It'll be fun.
We always make shit up.
Yay. Oh, my God. I'm so tired. On that note.
Good night.
And big ball.